This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. It's 11:06. We're in the 80s in Reno. Another hot day. With us for one more segment is Chef Mark, hosting his Chef Mark's 5th annual First Responders Appreciation Dinner. Your life has been cooking food. Not so much in restaurants. You've always been a private chef. Yet you were the chef at the Mustang Ranch. Did your mother know?
My mother knew, yeah, she knew. She kind of didn't want to know.
Well, what was it like?
It was a good job, actually.
And keep in mind, this is public radio here.
Yeah, it was a good job. I mean, it was back then it was 7 days on, 7 days off, 12-hour days.
So the ladies would say the same.
Yeah. Back then they worked 3 weeks, and then they got a week off, but...
Nice.
We'd work 7 days straight, 12-hour days, but then we'd have a whole week off, so it would be good to go to the lake and stuff.
How's Mustang Ranch doing now? Now, I have no idea.
I don't know. They're out. And didn't I see you there? No. Just kidding.
It's okay. My wife never listens to the show. Never once.
No, it's out in Patrick now. It's the Wild Horse Saloon.
Yeah, Lance Gilman still own it.
I believe so, Lance and Donnie.
They really put money into it, from what I heard, because back in the 70s, it was really weird, Chef. I moved here in 78, and I had all these college friends that I had in Indiana, and they wanted to come see me. And what do you think the first thing a visitor from out of town wanted to do?
Let's hit the Mustang.
Let's go to the Mustang Ranch. And so I would take my friends out there and sit at the bar. It was very friendly. There was no pressure.
Oh, no, it was great.
Sit at the bar. I was fascinated because they had these beer cans that were half size, like 6 ounce beer or 8 ounce beer cans. I'd never seen anything since.
Yeah, but still $8.
Yeah, right. Still $8.
So in 86, I was working there in 86, and that's when the big flood came through. Remember the big flood?
And I wasn't here for that.
Yeah, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning. Most of the girls were sleeping, and some were working, and water came in so fast and everything. The girls were all running out of the rooms, and the guy was in the skip loader, and he was coming across the bridge trying to lower the bucket down, and the girls were jumping in it, and now mostly were all naked, and we didn't have any, video phones back then. But
so your time there wasn't that long then, was it?
I worked there 85. I worked there 94 and 98.
Okay. Are you retired from cooking now?
I'm disabled.
Okay.
I take care of our first responders.
Yes. Well, they know you, I'll tell you that.
No, right now I'm working part-time. I started part-time at Overland in Carson City. I mean, in Gardnerville. Mm-hmm. The Great Basin, my friend Mark Estes.
Been to, listen, I used to go to the Overland in the 70s when it was the mom and pop Basque restaurant. And it was really like walking back into the 1800s, the Overland.
Yeah, no, it's a good place. And I started last week and I worked one day, the first day and everything. And then I was going to take the rest of the time off, get this party going and come back August. So I'm going back August. But I slipped on a steak bone and stretched my knee out. I just had knee surgery. And so
that's how much of a chef you are. You slipped on a steak bone.
Hey, they're trying to kill me and everything. And I'm still okay. Going forward.
All right. So at the First Responders Appreciation Dinner, chef has dreamed up a great menu. You said salmon. It's buffet style. Raffle, silent auction, live entertainment. What's the cost?
It's no cost, but we are selling raffle tickets at the door. Grand prize raffle tickets are $20 and $5 raffle tickets for all the other gifts. There's going to be all kinds of stuff to give away. And you can call and make a reservation, or you can just show up. We're not going to turn anybody away. And you can eat dinner with some of our first responders and interact with them and have a good old time and do some dancing.
This is at the American Legion, 877 Ralston. next Saturday starting at 6 p.m. Volunteer, or for more information, Chef has a phone number we'll give after this interview because it'll go crazy. Why don't you charge for this?
Because
don't you need some help?
We got a lot of sponsors, and
there it goes, Chef. There's your phone. I'm sorry I brought up the phone.
Oh, it's my mom.
Oh, it's your mom. Okay. Well, I got one listener.
I gotta go, Mom. I'm on the radio.
Hold on, Mom.
Hold on. Five
minutes here.
No, she's 88. I gotta help take care of her.
Well, listen. You need a little help too. You just said you're disabled. You're up there. I mean, I'm older than you, but we know how it is being this age and everything. You need some help. Why offer it for free?
Well, because I got sponsors.
Freedman
and Troop paid for the hall, and we're trying to get the money for the band right now. It's $500 and everything, so if anybody wants to help, that would be great.
The band is charging you for this?
Yeah, they're a new band up in Tahoe, chef. But people have to make some money.
Yeah, okay, all right. You have a big heart for everybody.
Yeah, but it's going to be great.
Yeah, it always is.
We need a lot of firemen. We need a lot of police officers. Just come down, have some dinner.
Yeah.
Everything's free.
I remember that first year I was co-hosting, and suddenly right there at 6 o'clock, you had all the REMSA and, all the trucks pulled up, and the audience, I would think, was three-quarters uniform, paramedic uniform.
Yep.
Oh, they loved it, Chef.
And if there are any single girls out there want to volunteer, there's going to be a lot of firemen there.
Oh, we're looking for volunteers, but it's single girls, huh?
No, anybody.
We'll give a phone number after in just a few minutes. All right, let me ask you this, because, again, food. People are always asking when they first move here, where's the best burger? Where's the best pizza? Where's the best steak? Now, you mentioned the Greek restaurant. Where do you go for a burger, Chef?
Jeez, I just went to Sonic the other day.
Sonic.
I know. No, but hey, I'm moving around so fast and everything. I got things to do, and I can't really move around fast.
I need
something to eat really fast.
Best pizza.
The best pizza is, well, it's always been Round Table for me, but you know who does a good pizza? Smiling Pizza out at Lakeside.
Smiling with Hope Pizza.
Smiling with Hope Pizza.
Moana and Lakeside.
And Noble Pizza Pie also. They're also going to be bringing a bunch of wings, and they have some really good wings.
And you told me Johnny's Italian restaurant.
Johnny's Italian restaurant.
Made a very generous donation. I've always loved Johnny's.
Yep, Johnny's put in a gift card.
Back in the 70s. Back in the 70s.
Red Lobster put in a couple gift cards for the raffle. Biggest Little Steakhouse, we're still waiting on them. But
now, you've been to Biggest Little Steakhouse, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I like it. It's good.
I keep meaning to go there. Okay.
Just parking sucks.
Okay. Okay, folks, so mark it on your calendar. It is July 25th at 6 p.m. at it's really nice building. It's pretty big, too. How many are you going to seat at the dinner event?
About 150.
150. So far, how many reservations?
We got about 90.
90. Okay, folks, now's the time to make your reservation.
Yeah.
Now, they have to call you. You go through people calling you one by one to make the reservation.
Yeah, I push it over to my assistant, Annie, and tell her to document it all down.
Okay.
But we got it all. And my number is 775-870-2820.
All right, folks, there it is. 775-870-2820. And do you take emails?
We take emails. Chef Silva, YPC, like your personal chef, at gmail.com.
All right. Chef Silva, YPC, for your personal chef, at gmail.com.
That's right.
I will see you there with Kathy July 25th at 6 p.m.
John Potter will be there.
There you go. If you need help on stage, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, and you helped out a couple of years.
Yeah, that was good. American Legion 877 Ralston, folks, next Saturday, 6th. Chef, take care of yourself.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, thank you for being here, Chef. One more time with the number, 775-287-3283. Bless your big heart.
287-870.
7-7-5-8-7-0-28-20. I got it now. Okay, Chef. Thank you. Thanks. Right, me too. Thank you for all you do, my friend.
Thank you guys for letting me talk on here.
I look up to you, as short as you are.
I know. I know. I'm shorter than everybody.
All right. Folks, we'll be back shortly. I'm John Potter.
Except for Annie.
Yeah, that's right. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time, 11:16.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk Time. It is 11:20. I'm John Potter. Current temperature in Reno, 84 degrees. We're headed to about 91 degrees for another hot high, even hotter for tomorrow. Did you folks watch the president, his address on voting security and what China is up to and such? I knew I was unable to, had a certain engagement, so I assigned my wife to watch it and let me know what happened. So I get home and I said, well, how was the speech? What can you tell me about it? And she says, well, they only showed like 8 minutes of it on CNN, and then they broke it off and went to their anchor people. And I said, what? Why did they say why or what? Yes, because he was lying too much, is kind of the message that CNN said as they cut away from the president, which is kind of disrespectful, you know? So along those lines, let's take a local look at this, because now and then the local media will even report about some terrible mistakes that are made in our voting process with mail-in ballots. Now, we had the story a couple of days ago about they found, 29 ballots? I think they were from Douglas County. And the people properly filled them out and sent them in way before the deadline, Election Day. And the post office diverted them back to the Secretary of State's office. This morning, I read in the Record Courier, two Lake Tahoe voters now found out on Friday morning that their ballots, among those not counted because they were not delivered by the post office, the ballots were delivered to the Secretary of State's office on Wednesday and forwarded to, this is different then, okay, and forwarded to the Douglas County Clerk Treasurer, who contacted the two voters and informed them their ballots had not been counted. Zephyr Cove resident Michael Frost, who retired from the U.S. Postal Service and moved to Lake Tahoe, said he made the effort to find out who was on the ballot before he voted. Like a good American, he did his research. He told the Record Courier, quote, it's not right at all, period, because I made an effort. He is a disabled Navy veteran. A Republican said he had researched the candidates before dropping off his ballot at the post office well in advance of the deadline, as did the other person. We also, had all those ballots returned to the Secretary of State, not delivered in time to be voted, and discovered, I think it was Sunday. And that is another mail-in ballot issue that people have warned about in regard to this massive Democrat move to mail-in voting. Now, you know I'm not a smart person, but a mail-in ballot, admit it, shows every potential for fraud. It used to be the absentee ballot, and that was, are you in the service and stationed far away? Are you on vacation? Are you in the hospital? If your answers are yes to any of those questions, well, here is your absentee ballot. If your answer is no, then get off your behind and go to your polling place and cast your vote. But when you have thousands and tens of thousands, and even more as years pass, millions of mailing votes, the custody of which and the casting of which is all kind of loosey-goosey, if you don't believe that there is potential for a fraud in that, if you don't believe that there are people who will use that to try and cheat and steal elections, you're nuts or you're lying to yourself. This is another illustration of exactly how this mail-in voting thing could be manipulated for sinister reasons. And our Democrat friends, Secretary of State Zach Conine and Attorney General Aaron Ford in the lead, saying, oh, no, 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 that would never happen. It never happened. Stop. Really? You know, I do believe that every single Democrat election reform opens the possibility for stealing elections. And maybe that's just a coincidence, or maybe it's not, or maybe that's just a preview of the future of American elections under this new Democrat mailing in your vote scheme. We've talked about this before. You all know the same tired arguments. They are tired, that our side brings up about the security of voting with mail-in ballots. It hit me, and we've only been doing this for a couple of years in Nevada. And the very first year, I lived in an apartment complex, and I went down to the mailroom, and the mailman didn't do this, but there were ballots all over the floor of the mailroom, along with all the junk mail. And you ever see people when they go to a mailroom at an apartment complex? You probably have. A lot of people, they open the mailbox, take the mail out, take the junk mail, and just toss it, usually in a garbage can. But often, at my apartment complex, the garbage can was overflowing. And so the garbage would end up, the junk mail would end up on the floor. Well, obviously these people thought that these ballots were junk mail. They kind of had the same size envelope as junk mail. And unless you took a close look at the return address and such, a lot of people thought they were junk mail and threw them away. And I was thinking, boy, anybody can come in this room and scoop up these ballots. And I don't know what they do for the signature, but let's talk about the signature. The signatures are not exactly studied. They had a machine that would check the signatures when the ballots went through. Well, that made the process of processing ballots a lot slower. So to speed up the process, they would loosen up how accurate, how precise the signature reading machine would work. And so the ballots went faster, but the signatures were not exactly audited as well as they should be. Now, voting in person, I vote in person. I told this story some time ago, that the new system when you go in to vote in person is you sign an iPad. You don't sign paper anymore. They have this iPad. You sign with your finger on this iPad. And usually when you go to restaurants, they have the same, you know, some restaurants have the same deal. Sign this, or actually go in a store, sign this iPad and with your finger. And it's a little iPad and it doesn't look anything like your signature, nothing like your signature. And that's how it was at my polling place this last primary election. And the guy, the poll guy, watcher guy there, he takes a look at my signature and he goes, and this is probably all for show, well, that certainly looks like your signature. And I got to vote. And I don't think the signatures are really, you know, looked at and studied that well. I'm just saying, okay, maybe it's absolutely true that we have not probably had not over 100 cases of ballot fraud up to now. But what about the future? The crooks get smarter in almost every illegal endeavor. They outsmart things. And I am terrified about the future and how secure our voting process is going to be. Now, the president talked about China getting involved in such. Why doubt that? Of course, it's China. It doesn't surprise you. It shouldn't surprise you. But that was something people have to be aware of and be very skeptical of the mail-in ballot system. Now, one of the questions we have on the ballot for this midterm election was solidifying the voter ID ballot question. And if it passes this time, it goes into Nevada law, and we will have that driver's license, which I guess it's impossible for people to show the driver's license. Well, anyway, it's going to be a more secure situation if that passes, and I think it will, because the first time it went through the voting process, it got like 68% of the vote. So, yeah, can't be too sure. Let's just hope for that. Anyway, that's enough politics. Yeah, all next after the news. It's all sunshine and smiles, okay? That's it for politics, I promise. I'm John Potter, live and local, because politics doesn't really go on a weekend morning show. You know, I just, well, maybe you're different. I don't know. No, I don't. Anyway, phone number 884-9910, and you can also text us, too, at that very same number. I'll be back shortly, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1130.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk time, 11:35, currently 84 degrees in Reno, expecting high about 91, as you just heard on the forecast. Yesterday, the Reno City Council voted on whether to strip gendered words like he and she out of the city charter. The charter, it's basically Reno's constitution. It's the document that spells out how city government runs. It's a public document. And there are about 70 instances of he or she and his or her in the charter. So yesterday, the city council voted whether or not to take those out. A yes vote gets them replaced with words like the person or them. So, yeah, the Reno City Council voted on removing gendered language like he and she from the city charter at their special meeting yesterday. Now, there's no word on how they voted. I don't know. I did not get out there, and no local news outlet has posted the result of this vote. But knowing our city council, I'm 80% sure they passed it. Part of the trend, folks, the Reno City Council taking gender terms he and her or she out of the city charter. Is that because gender language is one of those Eurocentric things we're now fighting against? I can't remember. Was it the Confederacy that invented the concept of maleness and femaleness? Is that where it comes from? Because, yeah, no, that's no good. And I brought this up before, only it was some time ago, about how, aside from the government, reporters are writing stories with they and them instead of he or she when referring to one person. My old station Channel 2 does this because I'm not in the newsroom to change it back. But I think, well, listen, I'm proud of my grammar. I cherish me grammar. English was always my favorite class in school. To me, it was the easiest. I have written professionally and have pretty much supported myself with writing for most of my career. I can remember the rules of our language in large part because they're not that hard. English is a pretty simple, straightforward language, and its rules are clear. Its rules are also important. They help keep the language from becoming muddled and uncertain. If you speak the language the way it's supposed to be spoken, you can avoid a lot of confusion and misunderstanding. But the thing that's happened of late is that politics have become more important than grammar, like these people replacing and writing the pronouns that their politics agree with. Like when they send you an email, and instead of he or her, it's they or the employee, or in news stories, it's the driver. It's like, it's almost offensive to me, but you do whatever you're going to do. We all virtue signal I guess, in the same way. I have an American flag sticker on my truck. You put your preferred pronouns in. I guess we all identify ourselves the way we choose, right? Pursue your happiness. Live and let live. But I'm watching a local channel or reading the story they post about, an arrest that was made downtown or a fatal crash. And too often, after I see the story or I'm finished reading it, I think, oh, wait a minute. Was that a man or a woman they caught or who died? It's always the driver and the suspect, and there's the victim when they keep referring back to whoever. I read a story a TV station posted last year about a driver who rolled into the ditch, and halfway through the story, it then referred to the driver as they. And I'm like, they? Somebody was with the driver? Who was that? Were they hurt? Who was driving? No, it was one person. We did not used to write news stories that way. There was a story the other night on one of the stations. They had a picture of this person arrested, the mugshot. It's up there on the screen. You can see it's plainly a man. And the news anchor was still saying, the suspect, they, the suspect, then, they were booked. No, that's a man up there, okay? That's not a they, but it was there in every reference. And then there's the victim had their car stolen. No, there is plural. There was just one victim, and the victim's right there, and that's a woman, and that's a her, right? It's not confusing. And yet 5 or 6 times in this report, there was used, and it's a virtue signaling thing that we are not supporting this look at me opportunity for a TV station to demonstrate just how woke it is, and I am just tired of it. You want to say no, actually. We have a language. It has rules. They're not complex. We're not going to bastardize the rules to assuage your personal politics. There are men and there are women. We have adjectives that communicate this. He or her, she, stuff like that. They are singular. They are gender-based. They, them, not gender-based. And they're plural, okay? And unless you're talking about a conjoined twin in this crash, that's a him or her. That's not a they or them. I don't care what channel you're on or anything else like that with this embrace of bad grammar. And one additional harm in this is that the use of they and them, again, it's second person plural. It allows you to know that it is a plural quantity. Him, her, he, her, she lets you know quantity as well as gender. There's one, right? If it's her, it's one. If it's them or they, it's multiple. And we are now losing, in conversational English, the ability to communicate a number because we have instead decided to communicate woke politics. But why embrace stupidity? Let's say that for whatever reason, you and your heart of hearts, grand TV reporter, don't believe in malehood and femalehood. Okay, if you don't want to say her or she, if somehow that violates your sense of the cosmos, if you could write a little bit, you could write around that. You could use the individual's name. You could say the car. There are any number of ways you could write that. So you don't have to do this asinine they, them thing. But the reason you do this they, them thing is because you're showing off, because you want to show who you are, what you believe. And to be honest with you, not to be rude, but that is... not why I watch the local news. I wanted to get this in. The Nevada Department of Transportation began phase 2 of their project to widen and improve. we say the same thing every year, don't we? 395 in the North Valleys area this week, going from 3 to 4 lanes from McCarran to Golden, with phase 2 being from 2 to 3 lanes from Golden to Stead. I have to ask, shouldn't they finish phase 1 first? That the Panther off-ramp has been closed for like 2 years, give or take, and the congestion from this construction, ridiculous, and we're getting another 2 years of it. And every time they try to do an improvement, they're 10 years behind, and by the time they finish, they're still 10 years behind again. So there's just no winning up there. Other roads, like 80 and the Spaghetti Bowl, they do one phase. Then they come back 4 or 5 years later and change it up. And now they seem to be working on all the roads at once, which means almost no road is available to actually get around in without road construction. There's West 4th past Keystone. There's still Sparks Boulevard between Bering and 80. South Virginia between the Peppermill and Moana. The Pier Midway, southbound from Ottie, which is actually closed now, I believe, for the weekend. Pier Midway, southbound from Ottie to C Street. Highway 50 East William Street is Carson City's very own 395 North Valleys. How about one road at a time? Have the construction crews all work on that one road, gets done much faster, and then they move to the next. Why is it hard to figure? You can't get out to Spanish Springs without being in construction traffic. And Pyramid is torn up, Sparks Boulevard torn up, Highland Ranch torn up. No way to get out there without being in a construction zone. They narrow the lanes, and either people zipper merge or they don't. And when they don't zipper merge, then the people who don't zipper merge get furious and upset with a lot of road rage at the people who zip along the soon-to-be-closed lane to their right or left and try to nose in at the head of where the lane narrows down to one. So much frustration out there. And you can't help but think of how it was, and I have very fond memories of 395 when it had two traffic lights, one at Golden and one at Lemon Valley. Not too much traffic back in the early 80s. But when the North, let me use this example. When the Northridge earthquake happened in California, they had 90% of everything back up and running in 6 months. Remember that? What a good example of how, when the willpower and the money and the efficiency is all in the mix, things can get done a lot quicker. I wouldn't expect a project like ours to be done in 6 months, but why could it not be done in 1 year? The road's already there. We've been building roads in Reno for close to 100 years, and I'll get hate for saying this, but you know, the Chinese, they'd have it done in weeks. And I know they would not worry about environmental impacts and union contracts and everything, stuff like that, but still. And when I used to live in Vegas years ago, they would get, you know, this kind of thing done in no time. I cannot understand why this kind of thing that wastes so much of our time, our gas, and our energy isn't done in with a reasonable time frame. Okay, I'll shut up now. But nobody else is saying this, except privately, like we're not supposed to make it public or something. I don't understand. I have one more segment left to go, thank goodness. Up next on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:47.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Truth. Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk time. It's 11:51. I'm John Potter. Let me get this in real quick. The one local news story I haven't brought up yet that happened this week. New local data center just got it okay this week. Lyon County Planning Commissioners voting 4-3 to move the Monarch Data Center forward. So many residents showed up to the meeting. An overflow room was opened. Most were there to speak against it. The company pushing the data center says it will bring $25 billion in revenue to Lyon. What? Is that for real? To Lyon County. That can't be right. Over 25 years. I would double check that number. But opponents brought up the drain on infrastructure, like, of course, water and power requirements, because this data center would call for 1,000 megawatts of power, enough to power hundreds of thousands of homes. Scott Lamori, who spoke in favor of the data center, got quite a reaction when he called attention to what he called hypocrisy by the anti-data center crowd. He said, quote, you're being hypocritical if you don't think you're using the data center. If we're totally against the data systems and everything else, then why don't we walk the walk and turn off our phones and get off the internet completely? And the man was drowned out by howls of laughter. The center is not a done deal yet. It goes next to the Lyon County Commissioners August 6th. First of all, on the other TV news story I saw on this, going out to a meeting and just getting people's angry reactions, that's not exactly journalism, okay? And second, there is a large international push. There's a story in the Wall Street Journal about this just a few days ago about how China, Russia, and Iran, to a lesser extent, are using social media stuff and all that to try to turn Americans against AI and against data centers. Why? Is it because China, Russia, and Iran want to preserve our electricity and water resources? No, because they know this is the thing of the future. And if they can get in on this ahead of us, then they're going to be the daddy. And we're going to get thumped in Reno in their never-ending efforts in this state to drive business and prosperity away. We have this 10-month moratorium on new data centers, a hold that has been put on as they join China, Russia, and Iran and try to discourage construction of data centers and AI facilities in the United States and putting our country behind China and Russia in artificial intelligence is probably not the smartest thing in the world. But Reno will be out of the data center game for almost a year while the rest of the world and the rest of the nation moves forward. And if Lyon County says no to this proposal, $20 billion will not be invested in Lyon County. And here's what's going to happen with anybody else who is thinking of building in Reno or Lyon County. That data is highly transportable. You know, it's like they got a lot of wires and they got like this satellite dish up there and they got radio waves so they could go produce the AI capability someplace else. It's not like, gosh, the only place possible that we can have a data center is in Lyon County. It's the only place. No, they got a lot of places. And when you say we're not going to put these more, you know, we're going to put these moratoriums against building data centers here, what do you think that does to people deciding where to put their data centers? They decide to put them and the financial investment and the employment that goes with them someplace else. Because so many people together here are able to kill the data center business before it's even born. But with everybody online, we really do need data centers to support all those kids using AI to cheat on their school homework. Desperate need. Okay, the bitching portion of our program is done. Okay, let's update you on the fires. The Gold Hill Fire burning west of Gold Hill in Story County is now 75% contained after growing to about 20 acres. Firefighters are still making steady progress, even though it's burning in brush and juniper fuels. Juniper really burns, and it's across steep terrain. The fire is more of a smoldering and creeping fire right now, and that's allowing crews to set up containment lines and extinguish those flames for good. Ophir Grade Road remains closed. I don't know what it is with these fires on Gold Hill. That's like the third one in the past 2 weeks. Two in 1 week. Not a bit of lightning. Skies were clear blue when it started yesterday. Not even a cloud in the sky. And I think there's arson in them there hills. I don't know. Or power line mishap. And we have another much smaller fire out east by Wadsworth. Truckee Meadows Fire and Rescue says forward progress has been stopped on the Owl Fire. That started around 5 o'clock yesterday. God, these things just pop up, you know? Again, clear blue skies and no lightning. This one, Truckee Meadows Fire, says the cause of the Owl Fire is believed to be target shooting. The Owl Fire is due west of Wadsworth. It's north of 80 and west of 447, which is what we now call the Burner Highway, 447, the route that goes from Wadsworth straight up to Gerlach. Anyway, that fire is smaller, but it's a little more active than the Gold Hill Fire. It has scorched at least 8 acres, but this was the measurement yesterday. Fire crews are mopping up hot spots. No structures have been lost. No injuries have been reported. And one more, the fire that broke out near West 4th and South McCarran near 80 yesterday afternoon, a little before 1. No idea how that started. Burned about 8 acres, too. And that one is out. Firefighters say it started north of West 4th between Del Curto Drive and South McCarran. And officially, it's been 1 week now since the Elephant Fire started northwest of Reno. Here's the latest on that. It's good news. Containment now up to 85%. Full containment expected around Wednesday. 21.7 square miles torched with some green pockets continuing to burn. Got very close to 395 in California, a few miles north of the state line, Hallelujah Junction. It wasn't pleasant trying to drive through there in the incredibly thick smoke. All right, that's it. Craig, thank you so much for your help. I'm John Potter. Thank you to the guests. I had a lot of fun today. Talk to you next Saturday.